The following is Carl Collins' talk, Mobile Eventually, from the 2013 Information Architecture Summit.
The 2013 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by User Interface Engineering. Stay tuned after the podcast for a special offer from UIE.
Good morning, everyone. So the image that's up here to start is up here just because Adventure Time is the finest thing on television right now. And everybody has their own opinion of the finest thing on television, and so I'm using this opportunity to stand up before you and tell you mine. And then there's this, which is a still from the movie Motorcycle Diaries. And there's a thing about motorcycles, as there is about many types of built technology, which is that motorcycles of a certain age are really great because the parts are available everywhere in the world, which means you can take a motorcycle of a certain age and you can ride it and it can break down, and it will because it's of a certain age, but you can always find parts for it. Bikes of an older age become more difficult to maintain because the parts are not available anymore and they require sort of an older, more specified knowledge to keep running. And newer bikes are too new to be repaired on the road. They have, you know, more systems that check on the systems, and when one of those systems does happen to fail, which it rarely does because it's newer and it's nicer, you can find yourself stranded, and the cost of repair is incredibly expensive and time-consuming. And, you know, what's sort of true of motorcycles, as I was saying, is true of many other types of technology, in the sense that the relative age of what you are working with technologically does matter to a certain degree. If you were to always be working with the most recent motorcycle, it's going to be more expensive. There's going to be a smaller pool of available parts to repair it. So, you know, think about your motorcycle, as the metaphor goes. So this is Mobile Eventually that you're hearing, and the reason I say this is just to sort of, you know, counteract anything needing to be first. And, you know, so this is me, Carl Collins. You know, I live in Brooklyn, and I work for a company named Code and Theory, doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, so Mobile Eventually is kind of a funny thing to say when you look at this. So this is from a couple weeks ago. This is the popination of the most recent pope. And what do you see but everyone there doing the things we do with mobile devices, all shapes and sizes and special attachments on them to get a better, your better telephoto mini device photo of the new pope blurring off in the distance there. So, you know, clearly, these things are here, they do a lot of stuff, they're really amazing. There's people that speak about it a lot, and they're mostly right. All this stuff is true. They're just, there's a thing, it's out there, it's always there. You know, to talk about websites first, because that's what I spend most of my time working on. If you have analytics and you check them, and if you don't have analytics, you should get them and then check them, your website will have mobile visitors. And then the question comes, what does that mean? I have this new thing that I didn't have before, and I haven't accounted for before because it's new. And so does that mean suddenly, because there is a thing that didn't exist before, it's now a priority? This is a question that comes up a lot. So, you know, and the way the question comes up is not, that I deal with it most often, is not from the perspective of the users, but from the perspective of a business owner who is asking me this question. Hey, we have this new thing, what do we do about it? So, you know, to really talk to them, you have to, well, what I have done is put on the clothes they wear and worked with them to understand how they determine priority. So there's a lot of different ways businesses determine priority, which is totally fun and fascinating. You know, we as a community sometimes like to tout Zappos because they do cool work online. And if you look at them, that totally makes sense because their priority is always be awesome to people. And with that as a business priority, which a lot of businesses don't actually understand how you could run a business that way, and it's very terrifying to them, you know, how do you determine that priority? Well, oftentimes the priority with the business I work with is, how do we make this pile of money we have marginally bigger while not spending too much money and, you know, controlling our risk and not doing anything that people hate, but not doing anything that people like too much, because if they like it too much, then maybe they could hate it too. And so what I'm going to talk about is just a couple of things that you can use to help a business owner you're working with determine priority and, you know, come to agreements on these things. There's this really fantastic tool that is out in the world, and there's a couple of ways you can come at it. TUG, the understanding group in Grand Rapids, Michigan uses this tool. There's some work actually by the artist Brian Eno around this topic. So what this is a performance continuum. It's a way to come to agreements on things. It's a way to say, you give it to somebody, you say, on this scale, right, and then here the scale is mobile is future need on one end, and mobile is now need or present need on the other end. You ask someone to sort of fill out this chart, and you know, people do it independently, right? So you give it to one person, they put their mark, someone else does another sheet, and then you collate all the sheets together, and you have, hey, look, your staff thinks we need this now. Let's talk about that. Let's figure out why we think we need it now. And they'll be, because we read all these blogs that say we have to do this right now. And then you say, well, you won't make any money there, so maybe you don't want to do that. And there's other ways you can make money that you're currently not doing it. And that's sort of, you know, these priority tools, right? So things we use with business, things I use, I mean, there's probably many more than this, and this is just a dense slide of text so I can talk a lot, right? So performance continuums are what we just looked at. User testing, we know user testing is a really valuable tool to know, hey, has anybody, you know, obviously user testing, we use it as a tool. We use it to build consensus, to determine priority, to learn things. Customer feedback is great. Both customer feedback and support logs, you know, one of my greatest tools in determining priority is often sort of a blend of all these things where I will go through, oh, look, here's all the customer feedback forms we've gotten. Oh, look, here's our support log. Let's run a textual analysis on this and determine how often this sort of problem is coming up. Let's compare that to our analytics and sort of funnel monitoring we've set up and compare these points of data to develop a sense of what is wrong, where are we making money, where are we not making money. Customer validation is a type of user interview wherein you bring in a current customer and you talk to them about their experience of using the product more as a, usually it's done as a two-part thing where you will talk to them for a while first, and then you will show them the product either in progress, it's, you know, to test prototypes, but it is a slightly differently structured interview, and you use it to sort of say things like, well, you know, do you ever use this on mobile? And when you do, what is that experience like? And then the final thing on here is estimation. There's a lot of ways to do estimation. It's usually math. It's usually economics-based math. It is going in and saying, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go through this. So estimation, right? Percentage of mobile traffic, value of a mobile visitor, user loss from desktop, cost of doing mobile. Can you put together a spreadsheet that has all these things in it and come out with a positive number? That is estimation. That is something very important. When you're like, this is how sometimes when doing business you answer, why do we do this? Or what makes this worth doing? It's, you know, to a certain degree basic math. You can learn all these things. Sometimes you have to guess. Sometimes it's like, okay, we don't know the value of a mobile visitor because we treat all of them like shit right now. So we can assume if we do this better, our bounce rates won't be 88%. But if the bounce rates weren't 88%, if they were some more reasonable number, what would the value of that visitor be? So the question that really is behind this is, do you understand what part of the business you're working with is most valuable to them, right? Do you understand how they make money? And is your work motivated, or are you convinced? Can you develop to a certain degree of certainty, even though sometimes estimation math is total bullshit, but it looks really good, and they like this sort of looking really goodness? Do you understand what part of the business is most valuable? Do you understand the value of what you're proposing? Do you have empathy for the business owner? And, you know, there are situations I've been in where not hitting a quarterly goal means the guy I'm working with is going to get fired. And at that point, it's like, do we go chase this new technology, or do we fix this thing that's totally broken, that we have all this great data? Like, this is actually our priority. Chasing this new thing is uncertain, and I totally understand why you want to do it, even though it'll make people happy. You'll have happier users if you do this, but you might not make enough money to make your quarterly goal, and then you'll get fired. And then you'll be out in the rain on top of your doghouse. And like, sometimes it doesn't make any sense. It's like, this is a totally irrational situation I'm facing, but it's very real, and it is part of the environment that we exist within. And so there is, whenever you're proposing something, whenever it's sort of like, what do we do now? There's developing a sense of appropriate. What is appropriate for the business you work within, be it a consulting firm, be it a company, and then what is appropriate for the people you are working with? You know, you develop this sense of what do you guys really need? You know, the sort of work we do of asking problems and iterating on solutions, it sort of goes in all directions at the same time, and the tools we use aren't always designed. Sometimes they are economics. It's this sort of thing. If my client speaks in spreadsheets, then I will speak to spreadsheets with them so that we know we're speaking the same language. So externalities, you know, once again, this sort of question, what if, you know, mobile eventually? What if working on mobile means other work doesn't get done? What if the other work is already behind? What if all the work is done in a place that looks like this? This is a picture of a hollowed out integration center in, you know, America. Of all the things we think about in our ideal workplaces, and I've worked in some really great, my current office is fantastic, it's a wonderful place to work, and then the people who I'm asking to do or working on, you know, the development side of things work in places like this. And it's sort of like, we can't do this new work, we have no one here to do it, we have no ability to hire anybody that can do it, we have to do everything with this existing technology, which is actually all right. The existing technology is, you know, it works, and there's still ways to work on it and optimize it and get more out of it. Because, you know, everything has a cost, and that can be frustrating to deal with, but it's true. The very last part that I'm going to go through very quickly, you know, is just this sense of, so within mobile there's also apps, there's also, everybody wants an app, it's really cool. Customers come to me and say, we need this app, and I go, really? This is borrowing from, you know, our earlier presenter, you know, the bats, like the multitude of apps. Not everything actually needs to be an app. If we can make money on this, we should try it on the web first, unless it really makes sense. There's tons of things. Apps are very much, again, about appropriateness, right? This is some great data. What do people do on their phones? They text message, they play games, they check the weather. That's the bulk of it, right? If you're like, we make all our money off of repeated use, well then, it's still hard to make money on an app based on repeated use, because people don't repeatedly use that many apps. Games are great, but once again, games have sort of a shelf life. You sell a lot of them, nobody plays it again. It's still a good business. You know, and when I wrote this, I'm like, wait, does that mean the details don't matter elsewhere? And it actually just means that the details matter more in this particular sense, because I might end up going to a website as a natural course of my experience of the web. You might have the things I'm looking for, so you show up in Google all the time. I come back to you even if I didn't mean to, but with an app, if I never mean to come back to you, then I'm never coming back to you. And you know, there's like, this is really important. We know people spend only a few seconds evaluating a website. Bounce rates tell us that. They can make up their mind very quickly. But the problem again with this appness, after that evaluation period of a couple of minutes, if it is not something I was expecting, then I will never use it again. You know, and that's this. If it doesn't work, no one will ever use it again. And that makes sort of apps harder and more expensive, and the question of what am I going to do with it more important. And so the point is, there's a lot of ways to make money, and it takes time to get good at it, right? You know, there's this sensibility that, oh, you know, we have these boy billionaires within our industry, but, you know, we're so far not them. And so it can take us a while to get better at this stuff. And so, you know, we're still learning all of it. There is a very strong conscientiousness to the accessible mobile web. There is an audience of these people who've never been on a computer before, and their mobile phone is their computer. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be appropriate and profitable. And that comes back to the sense of, you know, all the pieces must be considered to determine the priority of what you're doing. So the road to get there can be long. All right. That's it. Thank you.
The IA Summit podcast is sponsored by the UIE Virtual Seminar Program, with scores of online seminars your team can access on demand. For free access to a virtual seminar, visit uie.com/IAS13. And you can find the rest of the IA Summit podcast at library.iasummit.org.